Hey, it's Walker from Georgia Zone. Walker and Macy, proud to be back hosting the Primetime Roundup podcast this week. Talking movies and TV with our man, our myth, our legend. He's a TV fan, expert, and enthusiast, and the fourth nominee for the Heisman Trophy tomorrow night in New York City. Please welcome in Rick Hammond, also known as the Moose. What's up, man?
I better get on a plane, man. I'm in the wrong state.
You and Joe Burrow and Justin Fields and whoever that other guy is. Y'all are all hanging out and getting ready to win a trophy tomorrow night. No, Joe Burrow is going to win the Heisman, right?
That seems to be the popular opinion. Yeah. I don't think anybody will be too shocked if somebody from Ohio State walks away with it, but they expect a lot more out of Fields. I think his day will probably come.
Well, he's got another chance next year. So, speaking of awards, I want to get into all of the Golden Globe nominations coming up here later in the episode, since those were announced earlier this week. We should probably also say congratulations to Rodrigo Blankenship, who won the Lou Groza Award for the best kicker in college football this year. So congrats to Wild Thing, Hot Rod. I love Rodrigo Blankenship. I can't wait to see him playing for the Bengals or somebody next year.
Right. Is this the first time he's won that? That wasn't even his best season.
Yeah, it is. And I don't know if this is an award that they only give to seniors or something like that. I don't know how this works. But he's the best kicker in the country. That's all I know. Now, I'm going to give you some credit this week because you finally got in on the show that I've been telling you to watch for, I think, about a year and a half now. We're finally in on The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and you not only changed your Facebook profile to a picture of Rachel Brosnahan, then you also texted me and said, hey, best show ever. So I'm guessing you liked it by that.
It's funny. I think I'm actually about 45 minutes ahead of you finally. So
yeah.
Almost got through the first episode of the new season today.
I haven't even ventured into season three yet, which is weird because it's been out now for a week. And the first day, last Friday when it dropped, I was like, okay, we got to watch this. We got to get started on this. And my wife, I think, as eager as she is to watch it, she got sucked into another show. I'll talk about that in a minute. But we haven't gotten around to it yet. And I'm hoping the enthusiasm doesn't fade. Maybe this weekend we can finally start watching it. But what you've seen so far, season one, season two, you're enjoying Mrs. Maisel?
Oh, yeah, it's right up my alley. I should have known. I mean, I kind of did know, but, yeah, it's funny because I talked to you, and after the first season, I was like, you know what, it's subtle. I expected it to be, you know, more laugh out loud, funny, and it was subtle and not, you know, not scream hilarious, just kind of a subtle humor. But the second season, I mean, that was the funniest thing I've ever seen. I was almost surprised it was getting the buzz it was getting from the first season, but the second season, that's about as good as TV gets. I've never laughed that hard.
I totally agree. I've said at different points over the past couple of years, this is the best show on television. I can't recommend it enough. I mean, and it kind of depends on, like, you know, with the new way things are with binge watching, it's like when you're watching something, you're like, oh, this is the best show ever. You know, I said, right, Stranger Things was the best show ever last summer. I said Game of Thrones was the best show ever when I was binge-watching the first three seasons. You know, it's easy to say that now, but I really do feel like this might be the best thing on TV right now.
That's exactly the best comedy.
All right, best television series, musical, or comedy. Yes, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel is right there. Up against Fleabag, though, so that's going to be a tough one. And also Barry's in that category. We'll get into the nominees, and you can make some predictions coming up. I did want to tell you, though, two reasons why I haven't watched season three of Mrs. Maisel yet. First reason is the Holiday Baking Championship. It's just taken over everything in our house. So we're in on that every Monday. Now, my wife started watching this show called His Dark Materials on HBO. I don't know if you know anything about it, but it's a little otherworldly. It's you know, you got some different dimensions and different universes that people exist in. It's all very magical. You know, people have little animals that go around with them that basically represent their soul. They're called demons. So you can see why she likes this. This is some very Harry Potter stuff going on right here. And we've watched almost the entire first season of it. Lin-Manuel Miranda from Hamilton is in this thing as well. So do you know anything about this?
Yeah, there was actually a movie. They made a movie, The Golden Compass, a few years ago.
Oh, okay.
And Daniel Craig and Nicole Kidman. It was supposed to be a big deal because the books were apparently this huge thing in that fantasy world. But the criticism from that was they made it a little too family-friendly. So immediately, the HBO guy got their wheels a-turning and said, well, let's darken it up a little bit here.
Yeah.
And see what we can do. So I'm intrigued. I didn't love the movie, but a lot of people didn't. But supposedly the show is a little more true to the books, a little more out there.
It's pretty cool. I mean, I don't usually get into magic in really anything. You know, I'm not a big Star Wars, Star Trek, Harry Potter kind of guy, as, you know, when I watch TV and movies. But this has held my attention. Now, I will tell you something kind of humorous about this. We watched 6 episodes, okay? There's 8 in the season. And at the end of episode 6, we went to bed on Wednesday night. So Thursday night, it's like, all right, we're going to watch episode 7 and 8. We're going to get them both done tonight. Here we go. Turn it on. HBO Go does not have episode 7 or 8. So we're like, what went wrong? How did we mess this up? What have we done? We're Googling stuff. And then I'm like, is this show actually on TV, like, right now? Like, is this actually coming on week to week? And we find out that the next episode, episode 7, airs on Monday night at 9 o'clock. I had no idea. I thought we were binge-watching something, and it's actually a real show that's on now. So,
a real show. Netflix has ruined you, my friend.
It absolutely has. I mean, the funniest thing I've ever seen is when we finally figured it out, and my wife says, we got to wait 5 days to watch this show? What are you talking about? What kind of craziness is this? I'm like, well, that's how it used to be.
How it used to be.
You used to have to wait 7 days to watch a show.
Well, I remember because I was reluctant with Game of Thrones, and years went by, and I didn't watch it, and everybody told me I was an idiot. I think I broke my ankle and was like, okay, well, I got nothing else going on. So I want to say the first 3 or 4 seasons with the next season coming on at that time. So I literally watched 5 seasons in about a month and then really did have to sit back and wonder how I was possibly going to wait 6 more months or a year or whatever it was for another episode.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I just didn't know how to watch it like that. I'm like, wait, what? Because I just rolled, right through. I think I watched 2 seasons in 2 days.
I did the same thing with Breaking Bad and Walking Dead. I think I got in. I didn't get into Breaking Bad until it was almost over. So I finally eventually did get caught up and saw the last couple of episodes when they aired. Walking Dead, I went through the first 3 seasons on Netflix before I got caught up with the rest of the world. So it's weird, though, how you consume TV now. Like this show, The Mandalorian, on Disney Plus that everybody loves, they're actually releasing 1 episode a week. So it's almost like that old school way of watching TV, and people really seem to like that. They're like, oh, what a crazy concept this is. You only get to watch 1 show a week, and
right. Well, and which one is it? What do we watch? Oh, The Handmaid's Tale is doing that. The first season was a streaming, that's the way streaming was, and then they realized they didn't have to do it that way. I think we talked about this, years ago. The cliffhanger has been taken out of television.
Right.
It's gone. You don't watch it. I like the one with Paul Rudd, The Living With Yourself. I watched that in 2 days. Like, there's no cliffhanger anymore. So I kind of like that. I think that's something The Mandalorian was going for. I think that's something that The Handmaid's Tale is still going for. I mean, you want to kind of long for it. You want to kind of go, oh, God, what's going to happen next week?
Yeah,
you
I do.
Just watch it like a movie. That's gone.
It is. It's 2019. There's 100 different ways you can consume television at this point, and you'll see that with the Golden Globe nominations, because none of these shows that are nominated are actually on, like, broadcast television. These are all streaming services now.
And we talked about that with the Emmys, because it was literally nothing. It was nothing. I couldn't believe it. None of these. I think there was, like, one or two nominations from a network show, but none of the main ones, none of the lead actor or main show or any of that.
Yeah, the I think This Is Us and Modern Family were kind of the last two holdouts that were still getting nominated from broadcast TV, and they're not even getting nominated anymore. So,
right,
that's where we are. And it's also like, well, now we have way too many streaming services. I mean, now I want to watch The Morning Show with Reese Witherspoon and Jennifer Aniston and Steve Carell, and I don't have Apple Plus, so I'm like, do I want to spend another $9 a month so I can watch this one show? Like, I don't even want to do that.
Of course not, and that's why I've held out as long as I have on some of these. You know, it's taken me longer to get to because it's not feasible. I watch a lot of television, so adding another streaming service for me is not only more money, but, like, do I have time? I mean, when my wife got this trial for Prime, I'm like, oh, God. Now I feel like there's a race to be ran. I'm like trying to watch everything I ever wanted to see on Amazon in a month, and it's killing me inside, I must admit.
Well, we're sorry that you're dead inside, but we do appreciate your knowledge on these shows, so thank you for putting in the work. Let's talk about the Golden Globe nominations. And the Golden Globes is still my favorite of these award shows. The Oscars can get a little stuffy and a little long, and the Golden Globes covers movies and TV. They move kind of quick, and I always look forward to this one coming up.
Yeah, it's the only one left. I think we discussed this last year, too. It's the only one left that's just the awards you want.
Yeah.
I don't care about the cinematographer, or the editing, or the sound board mixing or whatever you get into with the Oscars. I figure they should do that like off site, like they do with some of the other awards. Like last week we gave awards for sound editing mixing.
By the way, I'm pretty sure sound editing and sound mixing are two different things, but you know, whatever.
Right, yes.
Whatever. What do I know?
That's how much I pay attention to those awards.
Best Motion Picture Drama. I'll not ask you how many you've seen, because I think you've only seen one of these. But Best Motion Picture Drama, you've got The Irishman. Everybody's talking about this movie with Robert De Niro. Martin Scorsese directing another masterpiece is what they tell me. You've got Marriage Story. That's on Netflix with Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson, about a couple getting divorced. You've got 1917, Joker with Joaquin Phoenix, and The Two Popes. What do you think about that category?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. The Joker's the only one I've seen, so that's my favorite.
There you go. There's the winner. No, you got to go Irishman, right? I mean, like 30 million people have watched this movie.
Yeah, it's funny. I was going to say both, you know, two of these are on Netflix right now, so that's a different, again, back to the streaming conversation, that's a different world. You can actually watch a lot of these a little easier now.
Oh, yeah. You don't have to spend $30 to go to the theater and get popcorn and watch the movie. I mean, now you can just queue it up whenever you want. I actually think Marriage Story looks a little more intriguing to me than The Irishman, but...
Yeah, you had me at Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson. I saw that on there, and I think the day before you told me about the nomination.
Yeah.
I was intrigued. Even my wife wants to see that one, and that's like a unicorn in our house. That's wanting to see the same movie.
Best Motion Picture Musical or Comedy. You've got Jojo Rabbit, which I guess is about a kid in like World War II Nazi Germany. You've got this movie Knives Out with James Bond, a huge cast in that one. Daniel Craig, is that his name?
That is.
You got Rocket Man, which you can figure is the Elton John story. Dolomite Is My Name with Eddie Murphy, and the hilarious Quentin Tarantino picture Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. They throw this in as a musical or comedy, and I can't figure out if Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is a musical or a comedy. I wouldn't really call it either.
No, you know, the way music plays into his movies, you almost could look at them that way, the way they kind of flow and the music ties it together. But I think it's the comedy that's doing it this time. And it is his funniest movie. I mean, I did laugh out loud several times. Brad Pitt's entire character and relationship with his dog was pretty funny. I wouldn't call it a comedy, but I'm not going to argue with you either.
I do remember the scene where he says, what was your name? And the guy tells him the name. He says, no, it was something dumber than that. I think that was my favorite line of the movie. Now, okay, you're right. I did laugh at this movie. I wouldn't call it a comedy.
There's always a bit of that in his movies, but I think the last few have been a little heavier. I know Hateful Eight and Django had some humor because his movies always do, but the overall tone was much heavier. This one did have a lighter tone. I mean, DiCaprio yelling at himself in the trailer. We love that scene. It's great dramatic acting from Leonardo DiCaprio, but it's also hilarious. So again, I can't really argue.
I mean, but can a movie about the Charles Manson murders be considered a comedy?
Only when directed by Quentin Tarantino.
Okay, I'll play along. Best actress in a drama. Okay, I'm going to say her name all wrong. I wasn't prepared for this. Cynthia Erivo for a movie called Harriet. You've got Scarlett Johansson, Marriage Story. Oh, man, here we go. Who's the girl that hosted SNL? Saoirse Ronan.
Her whole Saturday Night Live monologue was how to pronounce her name correctly.
And I still don't know.
I think it's Saoirse Ronan.
She's in Little Women. You've got Charlize Theron for Bombshell, and Renee Zellweger for her role as Judy Garland in Judy. So I know we haven't seen any of these, right?
Nope.
Best actress in a musical or comedy, Awkwafina. I love her for The Farewell. Anna de Armas for Knives Out. Cate Blanchett, Where Did You Go, Bernadette? I actually saw that movie, weird as it is.
Okay.
Where'd You Go, Bernadette? It's not great. It's not terrible. I don't know. I'd give it about a 6 on a scale of 1 to 10. Something my wife wanted to see. Beanie Feldstein for the movie Booksmart. I do want to see that movie. And Emma Thompson for Late Night. Good to see Emma Thompson in there. Love her. Best actor in a motion picture, musical, or comedy. This is a good category. Daniel Craig for Knives Out. Roman Griffin Davis for Jojo Rabbit. Leonardo DiCaprio, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Taron Rocketman. I'm butchering his name, too. And I saw him.
I don't think I've ever heard it. I'd say Edgerton, but I could be way off. I think I just read it once and went with it.
I saw him on like 100 different shows when that movie came out, you know, pitching that movie, and just didn't pay attention. And finally, Eddie Murphy and his 10 kids for Dolomite Is My Name. So
making me choose between Eddie Murphy and Leonardo DiCaprio. This world is an unfair place. I loved Dolomite Is My Name. I thought Eddie Murphy gave his best performance, if not ever, in the last 30 years. So I don't know. I mean, DiCaprio, it is DiCaprio for me. I mean, that was one of the best performances I've ever seen. But I hate that it's up against one of the another 10 best I've seen in a long time.
Check out this best supporting actor category. This is almost unfair. Tom Hanks for Mr. Rogers. Anthony Hopkins, Two Popes. Al Pacino for The Irishman. Joe Pesci for The Irishman. And Brad Pitt for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Right. Who are those guys? I never heard of any of these.
That's
people,
all one category. Who's
right?
I mean, that's whoever wins that should get like a lifetime achievement award, like on the spot.
Right. Well, how is Mr. Rogers the supporting character in a movie about Mr. Rogers? That's my question.
I wondered the same thing.
All a Wonderful Day in the Neighborhood, supporting actor. What?
Who was he supporting? The movie's about him.
Right.
Okay, so best director, Sam Mendes, Todd Phillips, Martin Scorsese, Bong Joon-ho for a movie called Parasite, and Quentin Tarantino for a movie called Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Obviously, we're Tarantino fans. Is he going to win when you're up against Martin Scorsese? Probably not, right?
Stranger things have happened. It took Scorsese a long time to win those big awards for some strange reason.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, it's... We talked about this when it came out, but Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was something different to me. It had the Tarantino feel. It was a typical Tarantino movie in a lot of ways, but it also was very different. So if I were to finally give him one, this might be the one to do it on. And he's showing a little more than just, you know, he was starting to get predictable. People would say, oh, he makes the same movie. I never believed that or agreed with it, but it was being said. But this was different to me in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I was definitely a big fan of the movie. We'll move on to TV here and look at the best television series drama. You got Big Little Lies, The Crown, Killing Eve, The Morning Show, and Succession. All I can say about this is I'm a big fan of Big Little Lies and Killing Eve. I haven't watched The Morning Show yet because I don't have Apple Plus, so come on.
Whatever
And The Crown, now we've been talking, I think we have made this pledge 3 years in a row that one of us was going to watch The Crown, and still no one has. So it's just not going to happen. We're not even going to say it this year. Forget it. I'm never watching The Crown.
My wife watches it. She loves it. I swore I was going to catch up with her. I think that was the last pledge, but yeah, I think I'll join your final thoughts on that one.
Best television series, musical, or comedy. You've got Fleabag, which I love, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, The Politician, The Kominsky Method, and Barry with our boy Bill Hader. So who you got?
Again, if this is based off season two, which I think it is, I got to give it to The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Yes. Best performance by an actor in a TV, musical, or comedy. Michael Douglas, Bill Hader, Ben Platt for The Politician, Paul Rudd for our show Living With Yourself, and Rami Youssef for a show called Rami. All right, where are you going here? I'm going Paul Rudd.
I'd go Paul Rudd. Bill Hader got one of these, I think. If not, he got the Emmy. Otherwise, I'd probably go with him. But, yeah, Paul Rudd, for sure. I mean, what he had to do on that show, playing two people, the same person, I don't know.
I was going to say the exact
same
thing.
The scene where he fights and tries to kill himself in the hotel room alone is probably worth it.
Actress in a TV series, musical, or comedy, Christina Applegate for the show Dead to Me. Did you ever watch that?
I did. My wife was in, and then she lost interest, so I've got to finish it. I watched about half, I think.
Oh, I thought it was great. And it does leave you with a bit of a cliffhanger at the end of season one. You'll like season...
Okay.
Yeah, you're a fan of cliffhangers. Rachel Brosnan for Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Kirsten Dunst. Oh, where have you been, Kirsten?
Yep.
On Becoming a God in Central Florida is the name of that show.
Showtime, it's on there. I put it on my queue. I like her, and I've heard good things. Mm-hmm. So that I'll have that one for you soon.
And Natasha Lyonne for Russian Doll. Did you ever watch Russian Doll?
I didn't.
It's good. It's fun, and the episodes are really short, so you'll like it. All right, two more to get to. Let's talk about best actor in a TV drama: Brian Cox, Kit Harington. Winter is coming. Jon Snow. You've got Rami Malek for Mr. Robot, Tobias Menzies for The Crown, and Billy Porter for Pose. Billy Porter's been winning these awards recently. I think we're too far past Game of Thrones for Kit Harington. So
we are, and I found that one interesting because at the Emmys, everybody who ever spoke a line on Game of Thrones was nominated. And
right.
This year, it's just him, not show, not writers, nothing.
Yeah,
it's just him.
That's
so I found that to be odd.
Best performance by an actress in a TV drama: Jennifer Aniston for The Morning Show, Reese Witherspoon for The Morning Show, Olivia Colman for The Crown, Jodie Comer for Killing Eve. Oh, she's our favorite psychopathic serial killer. And Nicole Kidman for Big Little Lies. I mean, Jennifer Aniston, Reese Witherspoon, and Nicole Kidman are in this category. I
saw that movie.
I feel like there's no hope for my girl from Killing Eve, although I love her.
No, but, you know, they like to spread those things around. They like new blood. I mean, as you can tell, shows like you said, This Is Us isn't even being nominated.
Mm-hmm.
Are they giving worse performances now than they were giving when that show started? No, but once the newness wears off.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we've seen Nicole Kidman's Golden Globe speech four times now, right?
Yeah, I don't need to see that again.
No, but that being said, it'll probably be Jennifer Aniston because we haven't seen her in a while, and
yeah.
God knows we love her.
And everybody loves this show, The Morning Show. I've got to get on that. I'm wondering if there's like I did with Mr. Robot at the beginning, the thing that you hated where you pay like $2 an episode or something. I'm wondering if I can do that on Amazon.
Well, it's Apple TV, and I don't have an Apple TV. I have a Fire Stick. I don't know if they're showing. I don't know how exclusive this is.
Yeah.
Because I don't own an Apple product, so I'm not sure if it's going to come out on the Fire Stick, or it may be. I mean, I'm not even really being funny. I have no idea.
Me either. I mean, I got an iPhone. I mean, that's Apple. Can I do something there?
There you go. Yeah, then it's probably on iTunes.
Man, now you tell me.
Yeah, it's on iTunes, I'm sure. So there you go.
That's fantastic. All right, well, the Golden...
I get stuff all the time. I'll Google. You can just Google a movie or a show, and it'll tell you where it's playing, and it always at the end says iPhone, and then below it, it says not available on this device. I thank you. I needed you to tell me I don't have an iPhone every time I go looking for a movie.
TV show not included.
TV show not included.
All right, man. Well, college football is over for now, at least.
I know. I said that the other day, and somebody's like, no, it's not. I'm like, it is for me.
Well, there's a lot of bowl games. I mean, and bowl season is fun.
We're not invited to any of them.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see you on January 1 in that Sugar Bowl against Baylor. That should be fun. But I do like the bowl season because it's that one time a year where you can sit down on a Tuesday afternoon and watch Pittsburgh play Central Florida, you know, at 2:30 on a Tuesday afternoon. That's always good. I enjoy that. Let's see. Tomorrow you do have the Army Navy game, but what are you gonna do the first Saturday without college football in a while? What you gonna do?
I know. I'm not real sure. We actually discussed that very thing. I think I'll probably watch the Army Navy game. You know, kind of wean, you know, a little bit of a taper off, I guess.
Hey, the Army Navy game is always fun. It seems like that game is always close. Sometimes they play in the snow, and you know, there's obviously a lot of pageantry and tradition that goes into that game. Right. I really enjoy it myself.
Yeah, I do too. And I think the Heisman, although I don't think it's too dramatic, I think we all know who's got it. It'll be fun to watch. They're always fun to watch. I think some good kids are nominated, so I look forward to the ceremony.
Yeah, it's that and Christmas shopping for me. I got to get that done.
Ew.
I had the same reaction. Got to do it, though.
Well, my wife said, is it okay if we don't exchange presents this year? And I was like, yep, there you go.
Done.
Sure. Yep. Uh-huh. Done.
Oh, love trust
it. Me. She's like, I was thinking, like, no, you've already struck oil. Stop thinking.
My wife and I stopped exchanging gifts with each other about 10 years ago. I guess once we had kids, it was kind of like, yeah, we can't afford to do the kids and each other, so we're just going to do gifts for the kids, and, you know, I'll see you Valentine's Day. That was kind of our thing.
Right. Well, I should say, for truth's sake, she said about three things she wants for Christmas since we made that agreement, so I'm not sure.
You better go get one.
Right.
Just to be safe.
Right.
All right, man. Well, enjoy the weekend, and I'll talk to you next time.
All right, man.